Take your Bibles and open them to Proverbs. You actually will be looking at a couple of them in Proverbs this evening. And I don't have any note sheets for you. It's a little shorter presentation tonight with communion. I want to ask you a basic question to begin with. Why be wise? It's an important question, especially since being foolish is usually the path of least resistance. It's really easy, usually, to go down the path of folly. It seems natural. It's almost always downhill. It seems smooth at the beginning, and there are lots of other people going that way. But you see, wisdom is very concerned with the long haul. What's going to happen over the long term? It's a crucial thing. Now, I told you before, talking with couples primarily, they're young and in their early 20s and they want to get married. I'll sit down with them and I say, how long do you expect to live? And they always expect to live and be 90 or 100, you know, whatever. And I say, fine, how long are you going to stay married? Oh, we're going to stay married forever. Well, you just said you're going to die, so you're not going to stay married forever, right? But you know, until you die, right? Yeah, okay. So if you're 20 years old and you get married today, and you are married until you die at 100, that's 80 years. You've only been alive 20 years. So, what makes you think that you got enough on the ball right now that you can make an 80-year commitment when you only have 20 years of experience? And fortunately, they usually kind of sober up a little bit at that point, start thinking about, what is this that we're doing? Well, wisdom is the development of a mindset that says, the long haul matters a lot more than a short haul. And in the short term, you see, anything can seem like a good idea. But over the long haul, reality wins out. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. I don't know how many of you get this. I have a perverse sense of humor, but one of the things I kind of enjoy is I get a newsletter called the Darwin Awards. Anybody heard of the Darwin Awards? A few of them, you know. The Darwin Awards are dedicated to people who have improved humanity by removing themselves from the gene pool through stupidity. Okay, and one of my favorites was, maybe you saw a few years ago in California, a guy, now this guy had at least the poor excuse of being drunk, someone at the time, but for whatever reason, he had in his garage helium balloons, or weather balloons, and tanks of helium. Putting those together with a little bit of a drunken buzz, he decided to connect weather balloons to his lawn chair, fill them up with helium. And of course, he could moderate it because he's going to take a BB gun along and shoot out the balloons if it got too high. Well, the result of that, this guy only got an honorable mention, by the way, because he survived it. But the next thing you know, he's at 12,000 feet in the traffic pattern for the Los Angeles Airport, International Airport. He got lots of attention, and he came down I don't know how many miles away. Well, it seemed like a good idea at the time. Well, there's this priest in Italy that heard about this. And this priest is having trouble coming up with enough money to remodel their ancient cathedral. And so he decided a fundraiser would be that if people gave a certain amount of money, he would hook up helium balloons to a lawn chair and do the same thing. And he would, you know, float away and everything would be just fine. Well, there's only two problems. The priest had a bad memory. And so the day came, they'd given the money, he took off. He's flying above the city, and the winds are pushing him out to sea. He got to the coastline, evidently, and finally remembered that he had forgotten the BB gun. That led him to some panic. He evidently tried a few things. Nobody's quite sure from here on. Things got a little murky. But he did have a cell phone with him, but he was out of range. Now you're laughing, but they found his body 3 months later at sea. Listen, folks, the human mind can find anything interesting in the short haul and think, boy, that's a great idea. It's one of the things that I had a junior high band teacher that said, that he said that the biggest problem that you guys got is that you're not going to survive high school because you've got the let's do it again mentality. Let's do it again mentality is you do something stupid and you get away with it and you immediately say, let's do it again. He says you don't get away with it every single time. Here's what Proverbs says in Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Okay? And the wise is because of this. We are all, out of our foolishness and sinfulness, suicidal. We tend toward that direction. And we need to get a hold of wisdom. Now, wisdom has some great promises connected to it. Okay, for example, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than... Oh, you can turn there, I'm sorry. That's why I wanted you to look at it and kind of see it in context or in the page. Maybe you go back and read it later. See, early chapters of Proverbs are actually prose that you can read in sequence. But Proverbs 3:13 says this. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Now, if you're just a little bit careless about this, you look at that and say, well, if I'm wise, I'll live to be 120, and it'll all be peaches and cream and easy. You've got to be careful. Well, let's talk about this idea of length of life. This is a primary focus I want to talk about tonight. Length of life is not relative. Okay? You have your life span. The days of our lives are in God's hand, right? Whether it be many or few. And so I look at this and I look at it and say, I may never get as old as Kathy. It's her birthday this week. I had to do that. Which birthday is it, Kathy? 40. It's the 40th time she's told that lie. 60, you know, big time. But the point is that I can still have my life lengthened by wisdom because it's not prematurely ended in the process of God's discipline. You see, it's not anybody else. Others live longer than others, live longer than others, live longer than other people. The point is that wisdom will allow you to live longer than you would have lived as a fool. Because the Darwin Awards kick in. And so I want to look with you tonight at four contributions of wisdom to the well-being of the wise. And remember that Jesus was the wisdom of God incarnate. It's another reason to be wise. And the number one is that wisdom maximizes lifespan. Wisdom maximizes lifespan. And by the way, it's not just that you will live longer than you would have otherwise, but you will have more life in the life in the years that you live. Have you ever thought back about how much time you've spent trying to make up for the stupid stuff you did? You know, like somebody said, how come there's never time to do it right the first time, but there's always time to do it over? And how many things have you done over and over and over? But wisdom maximizes lifespan. Proverbs 3:1-2. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Length of days, long life, peace. You will do better if you will learn. Why is that? Well, I think there's a couple of reasons, just looking at my observations of families. Number one is this. You know what your kids tend to be like you? That is a curse and a blessing. They tend to have the same tendencies that you have, both for good and for evil. They're tempted by the same things that tempt you. You say, well, what's good about that? Well, the good thing is this. If you've learned to overcome temptation, you have a leg up at teaching them to overcome it before they fall to it. if they are wise enough to learn. Listen to my command, son. I have been there. You haven't. Your life will be better. It will be longer if you will listen to wisdom. If you'll grow in that. You don't have to repeat all the things. And quite honestly, isn't that the real breaking of a parent's heart? It's not just that their children do foolish things, but they repeat the same mistakes we did, and we know what's coming out of that. I don't want you to go down that same path. You're better off. Proverbs 9:6, forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. Listen, turn away from this stuff. You're better off. I was chatting with Heather today, and if you pray for Heather, and she's, I think, her father's daughter in this. I can handle blood as long as it's not mine, okay? And today, she and Tanya, you know, her housemate, were cleaning up after dinner. And Tanya had never cleaned the food processor. And so she took it apart and cleaned it, and she's putting it back together, and she didn't think it felt right. So she was trying to get this thing to snap on, and for whatever reason, she left it plugged in. And in the course of grabbing it and trying to force it on, her thumb, you know how they try to make things foolproof? There's a little switch on there that the food processor won't go on unless it's on its base to keep you safe. But as she squeezed it, her thumb pressed the kill switch, and with it plugged in, it kicked off, and she now has 25 stitches in her right hand. That's going to take away a good part of her life over the next couple of weeks, isn't it? Heather's going to have to drive everywhere, have to write everything, those kind of things. Wisdom says this, you know, take some precautions. Unplug the appliances before you stick your hand in them. That's wisdom. That's using your head, and that's a character issue, by the way. For all of you, it's a character issue. How many read the instructions? Okay, about half. And I believe that that's probably exaggerated just a bit. That's a character issue. I need to learn. I need to have a learner's spirit. It will protect you and maximize your lifespan. Secondly, within that lifespan, then wisdom maximizes the quality of life. The quality of life. God does not tell you everything in His Word that you should avoid. Did you know that? For one thing, you know, you've got an entire life full of stuff that none of the biblical writers ever anticipated. In fact, you got your life full of stuff that your grandparents never anticipated. Okay, iPods, computers, you know, whatever else. God could not put in His Word, here's the laws, you've got to do this, you can't do this, you have to do this, whatever else, and cover everything. Instead, His Word teaches us wisdom. Proverbs 3, verses 7 to 8 says this, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. You will be healthier and you will be stronger in life if you fear the Lord and stop being wise in your own eyes. Well, why is that? Well, number one, it's interesting to see, as someone who's had to fight weight battles, that so much of what is in any of these programs is biblical. Accountability, moderation, thinking about what goes into your mouth, you know, these kind of things. Exercise, bodily exercise profits a little, Paul said. Most Baptists have changed that bodily exercise is not profitable at all. Right? I mean, that's what it's become for us. Paul wasn't saying it's not good for you. But of course, you got to remember this too. How did Paul get from one place to another in the Roman Empire? He walked. Here's an interesting challenge for you. For the next month, walk everywhere you go. Weigh yourself at the beginning and weigh yourself at the end and see what it is. Okay, that's not, does God have a law that says you can't drive? No. But the fact of the matter is that if you're wise in God's standards, there's a lot of things that your life, your health will be much better. That's wisdom. Now let me tell you, let's talk about some wisdom things. Did you know, forgive me for saying this because some of you are going to be aghast, but did you know smoking's not a sin? But it is foolish. It's destructive. Yeah, it's interesting how we go after certain things. I don't know, last I knew, the number of people who die from lung cancer in a year is insignificant compared to the number of people who die from alcohol-driven car. But everybody's going after smoking. Am I a defendant of smoking? No, don't smoke. I hate smoking. Please don't do that. But God put that in the level of wisdom. Okay? And somebody says, well, you know, that's destroying the temple of God. That's great. If you will be as hard on yourself over Dunkin' Donuts as you are of somebody else's cigarettes, I'm all for you. You're right there. You see, the junk food, you know, everything else, it's all there. But listen, the bottom line is this. You look in the Word of God and Paul talks about, hey, all things are lawful for me, but not everything is profitable, right? That's wisdom. That's wisdom. Listen to it. All things are lawful, Paul said, but not everything's profitable. All things are lawful for me, but all things don't build up. And you know what? We need to come back and say, you know, God, I need your wisdom about my life because my quality of life isn't that good. And besides that, remember this, that God is your coach. Did you know that? God is not only your judge, He's your coach. In Hebrews, when it talks in chapter 12 about the discipline of God, it uses the words, the discipline is profitable to those who are exercised by it. And the Greek word is gymnazo, from which we get the word gymnasium. It talks about an athletic metaphor. Now, here's the thing. Does a coach only discipline you about illegal activities? No. Coach disciplines you on everything that is going to hinder you from being successful in the sport that you're in. And so we look at the discipline of God, remember this, that God has to deal with us very often because we're being foolish. And tonight we come around the communion table and we look at this and we say, you know what? We say all the time, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28, let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup, for he eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. And when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Notice that last part. God doesn't judge a believer to condemn them, but to save them, to pull them out. Now, how many know the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 11? Why are they getting sick and why are they dying? Because they're being selfish. They're coming together, and when they got together, they would have a communal meal, a love feast. And at that, the rich people would go first because, hey, I brought most of this stuff. They'd pick out some people, didn't get anything. They were all being selfish, everything else. Then they turn around and celebrate the Lord's table. And he says, God is letting you have it for that. Now, is it wrong to eat at a church dinner? If it is, we're all under the condemnation of God, are we not? Is it wrong to overeat at a church dinner? It's foolish, wherever it is. But you see, he says, listen, you're cutting back on your own life through your ungodly attitudes. You know, it really doesn't matter which one it is. Foolish attitudes of jealousy and selfishness and judgmentalism and those kind of things, they rob you. They take away your life in the process. Be wise. It maximizes lifespan and the quality of life. Third, wisdom maximizes the significance of your life. The significance of your life. It's interesting that one of the proverbs that many people know, they don't think about the first half, only the second. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. And of course, we'd love to hear the sermons on soul winning from this verse. I'm not sure that Solomon would have even known what soul winning was by our definition. You know what his point is? If you're really a righteous person, you win people. There's a fruit that comes out of a righteous life, and it is a fruit that gives life to others. It's a source of life to people. You know, that's one of the differences, by the way, between genuine righteousness before God and a self-righteousness and a false righteousness like a Pharisee. The Pharisees were destroying people in the name of righteousness, tearing them down. Jesus did everything right, and they came to him in droves. They found hope. They found help. They found consolation. They found joy. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And when you make wise choices, you help others to have a better life. Life begets life. Jesus talked about rivers of living water gushing out of you in this process. You make a difference in the lives of other people when you choose wisdom. Again, it's not just laws. It's just wise. You know, we look around here, we got this community. I might as well get myself completely fired tonight. Did you know that in the Bible, gambling is never identified as a sin? Now, in fact, the only gamblers that you can identify with in the Bible are the guys at the feet of the cross. That's not exactly a great peer group. Okay, but what is wisdom? Wisdom says this. Number one, there is no such thing as luck, right? That's theology. There is no such thing as luck. The lot is cast in the lap, but its disposing is from what? The Lord. Okay? That's wisdom to understand that. You look at it, you say, you know, there is no luck. Okay, well, maybe God will choose to do this. Well, maybe he will, but if he does, it's probably in judgment of your foolishness. Because God can give wealth with sorrow. Go to Ecclesiastes. Paul said, I've seen something really terrible in this world. Somebody who has all the wealth that they need and they don't have the health to be able to enjoy it. In Psalms, it says, God granted them their request, but he sent leanness to their souls. It's dumb. And you know what happens if you gamble? You can't be a blessing to other people like you could. Because you know what you're going to do? Anybody? What happens if you gamble? You lose. Okay. Everything at that casino is set up for you to lose. You'll win every once in a while just to keep the addiction going. But it's set up for you to lose. And it always is. And when you lose, you not only lose, your family loses, everyone around you loses, people you would have helped otherwise lose. And you're not a tree of life. You're a withered vine, worthless to everybody else around you. And that's because you're a fool. That's all there is to it. You're a fool. And it has cost you from the opportunity to be significant in your life. By the way, very few people gamble who are really significant in life. The only ones that do are celebrities, not heroes. Michael Jordan gambles like crazy. What has Michael Jordan ever accomplished in his life? Oh, he's a great basketball player. That's a real accomplishment. He's set all kinds of records. Whose life is better because of it? His ex-wife? Come on, be wise, be significant. The fourth thing we're going to look at tonight, and the last one, is that wisdom minimizes the impact of sinners on your life. Go to Proverbs chapter 2, would you please? Proverbs chapter 2, beginning at verse 12. One of the big issues that we don't come to grips with often enough is the fact that when you are a part of any group, you will only rise so far above that group. When you identify someone as your peers, you're going to use them not as examples, but as excuses in that process. And so if you look at Proverbs chapter 2, beginning at verse 12, wisdom is designed to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, twisted things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. Wisdom is designed to keep you from a peer group that leads you to the immoral woman. Listen, guys, particularly. Everything out there of your buddies leaves you wide open to sexual immorality. It's just a part of the perversity of life. That's where it goes. And that is a way of death. I do Facebook about once a month, and I saw one today, somebody lamenting that they're probably never going to get married, and all these people wrote in about how wonderful it was to never be married. And I couldn't resist, and I wrote, you know, after 36 years, I'm kind of hooked on it myself. I really think I've got a better life because of it. But you look at this and you see that there is this whole process of companions that pull away from the godly approach to these things. And a wise man chooses associates and companions carefully because they tend to direct them down the paths that they should not go unless they are themselves wise. Your peer group needs to be, in your mind, limited to those who are godly and wise. When it includes anyone else, it'll pull you aside. And wisdom leads you in those directions. It leads you in those directions. Because the fool has a very different agenda. The illustration I'd like to use with you is a place in Bolivia. It's a road called El Camino de la Muerte, which in English means the road of death. It's an incredible place. The Inter-American Development Bank called it the world's most dangerous road. It is about 43 miles, rock and dirt, and descends from La Paz at 12,000 feet down to the rainforest town of Corioco at the edge of the basin of the Amazon River. How dangerous is it? Well, an average of 26 vehicles a year fall off it. 200 to 300 people lose their lives on it every year. Steep hillsides, cliffs, drop-offs with no guardrails present hazards, and the road in places has room for only one vehicle. Rain and fog complement the trip, along with muddy surfaces, loose rocks sliding down hillsides. On July 24, 1983, over 100 passengers were killed when a bus veered over the edge and crashed into a canyon. Well, why does this road have any traffic on it that doesn't have to be there? Because it's become a tourist destination. People come to see it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what companions do in this foolish world. Let's go to the road of death. Come on along with me. And until you have the ability to be wise enough to make a stand on your own, you are in danger. But wisdom will keep you from that. Wisdom will keep you from that. Buy into God's wisdom. God's wisdom is marked by this one characteristic. It is no longer, as I've told you many times, it is no longer preoccupied with avoiding getting God angry. It is preoccupied with pleasing God. One of the primary ways that I can tell if I can help somebody that is having problems is this. Will you buy into this one basic philosophy of life? I only want to do that which is pleasing to God. That's a much higher standard than I don't want to do anything that's offensive to God. I want to please Him. I want God to say, that's good. That's right. That's wise. When that happens, Life, ladies and gentlemen, is longer, better, more significant, and it doesn't get sidetracked by sinners. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your truth and for your wisdom. The world mocks, calls it foolishness, tries to find ways to tear down the truth that is in your word and the wisdom that you would point us toward in your word. But I pray, Father, that you would work in our hearts to give us a passion to be wise, that we might not only have the longest life we can have, but the fullest life, that we might not have just our best life now, but our most fruitful life now, including the lives around us, and you would protect us from the evil ones. Father, as Jesus ignored the scorn that he received and pursued your plan and purpose, I pray that you give us the wisdom to do the same, that we might honor and glorify you through Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen.